on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson drops by to talk all things Tin Caps, from their current series against Quad Cities to this year's Futures game representative, and the odds of them reaching the playoffs this season. I'll close with notes on Fort Wayne FC, the Pacers, the Fever, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette is here to help us get started as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Tin Caps returned home this week after a weird three-game set on the road in Lansing. They're hosting the Quad Cities River Bandits at the moment. How are things holding up?
With this Tin Caps team, it seems to be a little bit two steps forward, one step back. They've been doing really well to start off the second half of the season. They dropped a 3-2 game against Quad Cities. They had twice had the lead in that game, went ahead 2-1 on a Braden Carpathios home run in the eighth, only to give two runs back after loading the bases in the ninth, and that's their third loss in a row. So not a great way to start off a six-game homestand.
Next week is baseball's All-Star break, so the Tin Caps will have a few days off. Leo DeVries continues the tradition of Fort Wayne representation in the Futures game. What can you tell us about him?
Yes, so he had a great start to the season, and then a little bit of a tough stretch in May and early June. And then my husband, who has covered the Tin Caps for many years now, says, you know, he has done what good players do. He's made adjustments. He is currently in the midst of an 8-game on-base streak. He's more patient at the plate, but he remains kind of that aggressive and electric base runner that we all like to see. So things seem to be going pretty well for him, and you can never say when somebody's going to get promoted. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but the Padres have tended to be aggressive in promoting their younger star prospects, and other Tin Caps kind of on his caliber have gotten moved up, like Jackson Merrill now with the Padres, Ethan Salas. That has happened in early to mid second half in recent years.
So the Tin Caps will have just a month and a half of baseball left after the break. As we've discussed, the season is broken into two parts, and so far, the second half seems to be going a little better than the first. Can this team make the playoffs?
Definitely, yes. So again, for those who need a little bit of a refresher, the way that this league works, there is a first half winner. That wasn't the Tin Caps, that was West Michigan. The second half will also have a winner. Both teams make the playoffs. Now, West Michigan can't play itself in the playoffs, so they are currently leading the standings once again. They are 11-5 in the second half, but if they win again in the second half, then it goes to second place. Fort Wayne currently tied for second place at 9-7, so still very much alive. Something to keep in mind is that West Michigan just sent three of their best players to Double A all at once. And that is something that we have to kind of keep an eye out for all over the league. We're going to expect to see players promoted, players brought up for every team. And that could really change things over the course of the coming weeks, is you lose your star, maybe you get in a younger star from Low A. So things can change quickly.
Well, and that's when things move during the season, too, because the draft also happens next week. So those guys are going to start in Low A, which means some other guys are going to move up. And that's just the chain of things.
Yes, you can't get too attached to any one particular lineup in minor league baseball.
So what else do you have on your radar over the next week?
So as we're recording this on Wednesday morning, I'm going to head down to Indianapolis to go to the North-South All-Star Game practice. The North football team, full of our, you know, some of the senior standouts, will be coached by Alex Stewart of East Noble, who led the Knights to the state championship game in his first season as the head coach there. There are a couple recent East Noble grads on this team and a lot of guys who we talked about a lot in the fall. So it's kind of exciting to go see them play one last game in their high school helmets. Everybody wears their high school helmet, so it is a little unusual to go and see a game like that. And kind of get the feel for things before they head off to their collegiate camps. And one other thing that I've been working on, just finished our preview for the Women's City Golf Tournament. It'll be at Coyote Creek this year. Sarah Fraser, who has won 2 in a row and 3 over the past couple of years, she actually can't make it this year. So that gives an opening to somebody. Although Sarah's not back, the players who finish 2nd, 3rd, and 4th are all listed as entrants at the moment, including last year's 3rd place finisher, Ashton Taft, who was a longtime assistant pro at Coyote Creek. So she knows that course really, really well, knows all the nooks and crannies, has all the pointers that she, you know, discussed with club members over the years. So exciting to see who comes out ahead there.
Victoria Jacobson covering the wide range of sports for the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. I'm going to do that again. Victoria Jacobson covering the wide range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Fort Wayne FC resumed USL League 2 play Wednesday night with a huge match against the Dayton Dutch Lions. They've lost their last 2 league games, but have won their 2 most recent friendlies. With 2 games left in the regular season, our home team needs at least 1 win and 1 tie to win the division outright. They are currently chasing Lexington SC for that crown. They're halfway there now, after a win against Dayton Wednesday, making them 3-0 over the Dutch Lions this season, and setting the stage to clinch a 3rd consecutive division title Saturday. And Saturday could be huge for the club. Not only can they secure their ticket to another postseason, but it will most likely be their final regular season game, calling Bishop Darcy Stadium home. They'll host Kingshammer FC Columbus at 7. Caitlin Clark was back on the floor for the Indiana Fever Wednesday afternoon. Maybe it's a good thing that one tipped off at noon when everyone was at work. The Fever lose to the expansion Golden State squad 80-61 at home. Clark scored 10 points on 33% shooting with only 2 threes and put up a -7 for the day. There were worse performances in that one on Indiana's side, but she's also the star, and if the Fever are going to make a playoff push this year, those numbers will have to improve. They're 9-10 on the year, and we're almost at the halfway mark this season. They have an opportunity to clean things up with 2 more home games, the Atlanta Dream at 7:30 Friday, and the Dallas Wings at 1 on Sunday. Then they'll face the Connecticut Sun and New York Liberty on the road next week, ahead of the WNBA All-Star Game, which, just a reminder, is in Indianapolis on Saturday, July 19th. And bad news for the Pacers. A few weeks ago, I assumed Tyrese Halliburton would be out for all of next season because of the nature of his injury, and that was confirmed officially by GM Kevin Pritchard earlier this week. See how they hope to address this in the coming months, but the NBA offseason is cooling down and the Summer League will be ending soon, so answers may become a bit clearer soon. Miles Turner is also long gone to Milwaukee, so they need to bolster the center position as well. They'll give James Wiseman another shot next year after he missed all but 1 game last season due to injury. It's a lot to recover from, but they've got one of the league's best coaches in Rick Carlisle and tons of depth. The East is pretty wide open, so only time will tell how they bounce back. Baseball's All-Star Game is next week in Atlanta. Javier Baez is an outfield starter for the American League. Incredible. I've never been happier for and prouder of an athlete in my entire life. The Futures game is Saturday. Home Run Derby is Monday. Then the Midsummer Classic itself is at 8 on Tuesday. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.